Proverbs 30, verse 24. So we'll look at kind of a short passage here, a couple verses, in light of one of the guys that we're going to study this morning. I think this would be appropriate. 30:24. Somebody pick up there.
Four things on earth are small, but they're exceedingly large.
All right, so Solomon's going to give us an illustration of four examples of things that are not significant in and of themselves, but because of their wisdom, they are able to do great things. Okay, verse 25 here is our first. Well, hello. Who's got the cover right now, by the way? No, who had it before you? You still had it. Oh, I'm sorry. Jason had it. Tony's now got it. Okay. Oh, 24 hours. That's the worst, right? Like, no one's been late for weeks. One guy gets it, and then 24 hours later, someone else is late. So. Sorry, my friend. It's good. We're raising funds for Israel right now. See, it's good. This is my Humus fund. All right. Four things. Here's the first in verse 25.
Ants are people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer.
All right, so as you look at an individual ant, there's nothing impressive about them externally in terms of their size or what have you. They're not strong on their own, but they are able to prepare their food in summer. So what does that mean? What are they doing in summer?
Gathering
food. Why? Because they know winter's coming, right? They're smart. They know that if they don't do the small, difficult things in a season that doesn't have immediate payoff, they're not going to reap those rewards earlier. We've talked about another proverb with the same concept, okay? So in winter then, what do they have? Food, right? Now, some animals in winter, they hibernate, they leave, they go to, you know, they fly south or whatever. Ants don't have to do that, right? They have made their preparations, not exceedingly great in terms of their size, but because of their wisdom to prepare in a season where they don't need food. When they call upon that, they've got their savings banked up. Okay, so there's the first. There's your ant. Next one, 26.
The rock badgers are people not mighty, yet they make their homes in the cliffs.
All right, so we got rock badgers. Anybody got a different translation in verse 26 for rock badger? Shefanim, whatever the heck that is. Okay, what else? A coney. Okay, you guys know Coney Island? Coney Island is named after this animal. Okay, we'll see them when we get to Israel. You guys remember when we went to, where was it that had one a couple years ago? And Getty? Masada and Getty Qumran by the springs. As we walked out to the springs, there were those little like furry looking, it's like a raccoon / squirrel, small head, big bushy tail animal. Okay. They're not impressive. They're cute, but they're not going to wage war against anybody. Okay. But in their weakness, they realize where their strength is. Verse 26, where is their strength? In the rock. What does that mean? What are they doing? To protect themselves, they can hide. They can get in small places. They put their trust in something much greater than themselves, which in this case is the rock, right? So they are a rock-dwelling animal that knows where to hide in caves. It's a great illustration of us, inherently weak, but we put our faith in the sense of something much greater than us, and in that is where we end up having strength. We are not smart or strong in and of ourselves, but because of what is around us in our God, we hide in him, okay? So the rock badger or the coney is able to do that, okay? 27, how about this one?
The locusts have no king, the lizard, yet all of them march in rank.
Right, the locusts do not necessarily have a leader, okay? An individual locust, you don't need to worry about, okay? A horde of locusts, you have the Exodus, right? You have the plagues. They are amazing creatures in what they can do in numbers. I've heard they can take down an airplane, a railroad car. I mean, they will put anything in its path to stop. And they have a way that they move through. You know, the first group does X, the next group comes through and finishes it, and the last group that comes through, like, eats it to the ground. And they do that in with a cooperative sense of attacking, if you will. They don't have a leader. They just each have a job. They do it well, and they depend on the others to do their job as well, okay? So in and of themselves, a single locust, not a big deal. A horde of them, when they work together and cooperate, it's fantastic, right? It's the whole movie of ants, right? You know, it's the Pixar film. Who knew it was so biblical, okay? And here's our last one, 28.
The lizard you can take in your hands, it is in king's palaces.
The lizard, okay, anybody got a different translation for lizard? Okay, there's some confusion in the Hebrew as to whether that's lizard or spider. Okay, this is the strange stuff about Hebrew. And there's confusion as to whether it means you may grasp with your hands or it grasps with its hands. So active or passive. So the spider, though it grasps with its hands, yet it's still in king's palaces. Or it's the lizard, though you can grasp with your hand, yet it is in king's palaces. I think the NASB, the one that we just read, is I think correct in that it's showing a sign of weakness. Though there is a lizard and it's small and you can grasp it with your hands, it can end up in king's palaces. So something weak is turned into something strong. What does that mean? Though you can grasp it with your hands, it can end up in the palace of a king. What does it have the ability to do? Potentially, what is a king's palace? Is that something that everyone has access to? No. Can an army go into king's palace? Not normally, right? But a lizard can go into places that other things can't, where other things cannot go because of its size. It takes a weakness and makes it a strength, okay? So that's the idea. So four things that inherently take a weakness and turn them into a strength, okay? We're going to watch a guy this morning named Gideon. Who is that guy? He is a weak, least of his tribe type of guy who is scared. He is weak, and yet God is going to use him to do great things, and it's only in his weakness that God can demonstrate his full strength, okay? So as you guys think through your lives and your shortcomings like mine, our weaknesses so often are the things that God turns into strengths and uses to shame the wise, as Corinthians says. So if you are one of those that is inherently weak, as I think we all are, it's a good reminder that that's exactly where God wants us, and it's those weaknesses in us that God ultimately is going to redeem and demonstrate his strengths. Okay, so great nuggets on all these. Okay, so thoughts on that before we move on into Judges. I think they're so thick in number that you just can't fly through them, or it will cause a malfunction in the plane, getting the engine, so like they have to divert. So yeah, no eating of the airplane. I don't think it's just the pure power of what they're able to do in numbers. Cool. All right, judges, shall we? Jane, will you pray for us, and then we will dive into the last chapter of the story of Barak and Deborah and these guys, and then jump into Gideon here in just a second.
Father God, thanks for
a
time for us together and just dive into your word. I pray that what we learn today will change us, that we will use it to just let our lives give you glory.
Amen. All right.